Welcome to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Teresa's got the scoop on all the finest chefs, new restaurants, and the best places to dine. And now, the most elegant and gracious host in radio, Teresa Farney.
And welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette. Today we have a very exciting program. We're going to learn about an absolutely fantastic wine festival, a unique cheese store that you've never seen the likes of, a beer celebration, and wonderful, wonderful artisan pizza. But first we're going to start off talking about that wine festival. I have Christopher Davies with me. And his wife, Darcy. He is the founder of Wine Country Network, which is kind of a magazine-based.
It's a multi-platform media company. We produce Wine Country International magazine, which just celebrated its 15th year.
Wow.
And when we were developing this out in New York City when we lived there, and after 9/11, we decided to relocate to Colorado. And we came out and we found some other opportunities, things that were not happening at the time. And one was there were no wine festivals in the city of Denver.
Really?
Yeah. We actually were down in Chile at a very famous winery, and the gentleman asked us, why do I have to sell all my wine and go to Aspen? He goes, I sell most of my wine in Denver. And we're like, he goes, why don't you have a wine festival there? And we're like, I don't know. We'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, so we did some investigations, and lo and behold, in 2005, we started the Denver International Wine Festival. First one was held at the Oxford Hotel in Lodo, which was the oldest hotel in Denver. And we had about 800 attendees, and we thought, wow, we're onto something. And we never planned on being in the event business, but lo and behold, that's what we do. And this is now the 14th year of the Denver International Wine Festival. It's moved around town. Over the years, last year we moved it to the Denver Marriott Westminster, which is a relatively brand new hotel, and we have 100% of the meeting space, and they have a special offer on rooms, so people who come to the festival do not have to drive.
They can come for both nights of the Thursday and the Friday night, and they can stay over.
Okay, well, let's back up for just a second, because the basis of this has to do... Don't you do a competition?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
then you do the awards. So, when does a competition happen?
Yes, so that's another part of the business that we never planned on doing. But we got into the Denver International Wine Competition about 13 years ago, and that's held usually around June. And we have as many as 800 wines from around the world entered in. And the top winners, the 91 or higher scored wines that receive gold medals, are then invited to pour at a very special event, which is the kickoff event for the Denver International Wine Festival. It's a made-up word. It's called pair zine, which means pairing and cuisine.
Right,
together.
All blend together. That's a fusion word.
Yeah, it's a fusion word. And this event features 10 chefs from around Colorado, and they get two different award-winning wines each, and they get them 2 weeks before the event, and they taste the wine, and then they have to create a gourmet food pairing for each one of those wines and serve it to the 450 people that are at the event.
And then you have two or three people that are judges that come around.
Right, and you've been a judge before.
It's a lot of fun.
Would you like to come back?
Maybe,
Thursday, November 1st.
Okay.
This year we have Denise Mickelson as a judge from 5280 Magazine. Mm-hmm. And we have a great lineup of chefs. We have Fruition Restaurant, Mercantile Dining and Provisions. We have a new restaurant called Ad Homian. Really good lineup, and even the chef from the new Gaylord Convention Center is going to be
the executive chef. They won't be open yet, but they thought it was a good time for him to get out in the market.
To introduce them.
So that's a live event. It's a lot of fun, and the best of all is the consumers that come to it get to vote for their favorite chef. And this year, the prize is two round-trip tickets to the Cayman Islands.
Holy smoke, wow.
You know, Cayman Airways will start direct service in March from Denver to Cayman.
I want to be sure and get around to this. The VIP tickets cost $185 for per person for admission. That allows you to get into this wonderful tasting a little bit early from 5 to 9 p.m. Then the general admission tickets is $120. That gets you in from 6 until 9 p.m.
Right, and nobody's ever complained about how much food they get.
No, absolutely not. Then the next thing comes on November 2nd, which is a grand tasting of all the wines that were in the competition.
Right, and it's one of the largest grand tastings of wine in the state. It's usually features 50 tables of wineries and some distilleries involved also. This year we have some very unique wineries. Because of our magazine, we meet a lot of wineries from around the world, and we will have a group of wineries from southern Italy, from the Primitivo region of Manduria, will be coming in. And, you know, Primitivo is a relative of Zinfandel. It is from the olden days, and these guys will probably hardly speak any English, but they're going to be bringing some really amazing wines. We also have four seminars for the VIP ticket holders. One will be the Primitivo. The other one is rosé wines in the winter, which I will host. And there's a Spanish brandy tasting by Torres.
Mm-hmm.
And then Letson Vineyards from Sonoma is going to do a vertical tasting. So that all is included in your VIP ticket for the grand tasting.
And that is $185, and that allows you early entrance from 4 until 9 p.m. Then the general admission ticket is $95, and that gets you in 6 to 9 p.m. But we've got to really talk about the Julie and Julia Champagne Tribute Luncheon. You had that one other year, and it was fabulous.
I think you came to it.
Yes.
So we can't call it Julia Child because you know the foundation will go nuts, but it's based on what we did before.
Yeah.
But it's the ninth year of the movie Julia and Julia that came out, and you know where Meryl Streep won the big awards for.
Right.
It will feature some Colorado artisans like Fruition Farms Creamery Cheese and Il Porcellino Salames, and there'll be Left Coast Cellars from Oregon, from the Willamette Valley, will be pouring wines. And then there's a special menu that was actually created by Julia Child with champagnes. It was done in Aspen at the Aspen Food and Wine.
Yeah, several years ago.
And we've replicated that menu. There will also be a large format wine auction with the large bottles. And this event is capped at 90 people.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's going to be a sellout.
It will be a sellout. It's $120. It's going to be 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And this one is at the Omni Interlochen Hotel in Broomfield. And, hey, if you want to get tickets, and you really should jump on it right away, you need to go to denverwinefest.com. If you just use the code KRDO, you can get $25 off your ticket cost. Wow.
That's right.
Thank you, Chris.
We're happy to do it.
That's wonderful.
Have people come for the weekend and stay at the hotel. The Omni is only one exit down the road from the Marriott.
It's extremely easy to get to. It's a beautiful, beautiful hotel. They have wonderful food, by the way, too. And that luncheon I went to, I didn't want to leave. It was so much fun, and the food was fabulous.
Thanks for having us, Teresa.
Thank you, Chris and Marcy. Appreciate you guys coming in so much.
Cheers.
Well, we're coming up on a break, but stay tuned. There's more appetizing talk to come. Welcome back to the second course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. About a year ago, I'm guessing, am I correct, Nick? You guys opened your little pizza restaurant.
A year ago next month.
I was down in Monument, and here we go by what we thought was a winery, and it had been. And all of a sudden, it was now Papa Bear Takeout Pizza Kitchen.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's at 243 Washington Street in Monument. And it was brought to us by Nicholas Blake and his companion business partner, Charlie Snow.
The better half.
And give us just a little bit of background, Nicholas. How did you get into the food? You've been involved in several aspects of entertainment.
I think I've been around it my whole life. I kind of grew up in the hospitality world. My stepfather was an executive with the company that owned the Broadmoor. And so that kind of got me a foot in. But even at a young age, I had a stepfather who owned a catering company, and we did some catering. And it wasn't until I got into college and I realized that I grew up on a better quality of food than a lot of people, I think,
Well, yeah, if you were so yeah, if you're going to the Broadmoor as a little kid.
And so I always had chefs cooking for me. When Charlie and I talk about our upbringing, we just had vastly different upbringings in our approach to food. And so when I realized when I got in my early 20s that I didn't have the finances to afford the food that I was used to eating, I needed to make them. So I started studying at a pretty young age and got into the restaurant business, it seems, on all the peripherals. So whether it was in a consulting capacity or we owned a nightclub up in Denver, so we were in the bar business for years.
Aren't you glad to be out of that?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even begin to tell you. Our dream was to open just up, to go back to kind of our culinary roots, but to the essence of food and back to made from scratch eating, which I don't think exists as much anymore.
Not in the not so much. It's moving back to that direction.
I think we're slowly getting there.
Economically, it's just really difficult for a restaurant to do that handwork and source everything locally. It's just way expensive and hard to get your food cost right.
It ruins the food cost. The GMO food movement, we were talking about, I was a food consultant, specifically in efficiencies. And one of the things we do is we incorporated all of these ready-made food items so that you can inherently lower your food cost and expedite the process so that your customer can get food in a quick and efficient manner. But the problem with that is you're really taking away quality to add value.
And it kind of depends on what your overall goal might be, because there's certainly some of the ready-made products that is available to food service, it can surpass homemade stuff.
They're amazing.
And on the other hand, in your situation, you are taking great pride in, for instance, just making the pizza dough. You have, whenever you make your allotment and it's gone, you make it the night before.
Yes, ma'am.
And when it's gone the next day, you hang up, we're closed.
Well, it's generally not a we're closed. It's I wish we could kick out pizzas that fast, but unfortunately, it's really more, we hate to say it, more of a reservation, but we're there until, you know, we would make pizzas into 10 o'clock at night. We're just filling in the orders because the orders just come so quickly.
We normally sell out of dough in the first 45 minutes of being open every single day we're open.
But it's staggered through
but
the
it's
day.
Staggered. But so it what happens sense. Is, yeah, it's kind of like how you would do table reservations.
Right.
We reserve our oven space.
Oh.
And so if you want a pizza at 6 o'clock, we'll have a pizza ready for you at 6 o'clock. But I can only make six pizzas depending upon the altitude, the time of the day, how many pizzas we've been kicking out, because all those variables change cooking times. Generally, it's 15 to 20 minutes. And so we sell six pizzas from the 6 to 6:15 range. That means there's no more pizzas for that time. And so you just kind of have to work with us. And it's a new approach. It seems to be working. It's kind of a crazy business model, to be honest with you.
I know you mentioned at the beginning it was a takeout kitchen, and people are surprised when they come and they're like, oh, you do have seating. We have a gorgeous patio.
Yes.
Beautiful indoor seating, games, entertainment, and things. But we really need to run more. As we don't like reservation, we don't like that atmosphere added to it. But we are a call ahead. Definitely, we strongly recommend people to call ahead so we are not wasting.
Because you make everything right then.
We make everything.
Yes.
If
you ask for an Alfredo sauce,
we don't own a freezer, so everything comes from scratch from my hand.
Well, you have a very tiny kitchen, anyway.
Tiny. It's half the size of the one in our house.
Yeah.
It is. It is. So, it's another reason why it limits the capacity, or overall capacity. People are like, well, why don't you just make more dough? Really, we've got a time. So about the time we sell out of dough, we're about a 2.5 hour wait. And so that's about the longest people will wait for a pizza before they're just willing to check out. And so it's all kind of perfectly balanced at this time, but we're just looking, I think, for a new location, another location, I should say, not a new.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but I wanted to back up just little bit, because you've got an interesting, how you got into the pizza business, because you had in college a roommate.
Yeah.
And tell us that story.
So Lars and I would make pizza. He came from Alaska, and we both had these ideas that we're going to be restaurateurs, and once again, working the peripherals. I think he was a bar back and I was a valet or something. And so we started making pizzas, and we'd sell them through we had a large frat house, and we'd sell them in our frat house, and we'd sell them at other frat houses. And I went off to kind of chase the bar business, and he kept with the pizza business. And in fact, just last year, he opened up the largest restaurant in Tennessee, 650 seats. He owns eight restaurants now. All built off of a barback's initiative and a really good pizza recipe.
Okay, and that's the one you use.
The Poolishes. Yeah. So the starters, the original sourdough batch that came up with the Klondike 110 years ago. And so we still have the same Poolish. It works well with our altitude. And so that's how we make all of our dough. We make everything the old-fashioned way.
So for the uninitiated, what is a Poolish?
A Poolish is just a live yeast that, we use instant yeast now and compressed yeast. But back in the day before they had all of those, every community would start basically a live yeast fermentation, and it's just a bucket of yeast that's continuously replicating itself.
And so you take a hunk of that.
And that gives us all the rise we need, and it comes from a natural source with a very distinct flavor because it keeps replicating itself every 72 hours. And so every 72 hours, it's gaining flavor and momentum, and I think it comes through in the pizza. When we decided to make a pizza, we wanted to have a pizza that was original to us. Both Charlie and I are Colorado Springs. Well, I'm third generation, and she's second generation. She's from Denver, but we grew up in the same pizza. Midwesterns aren't, you know, the Midwest isn't really renowned for its pizza, and so we kind of started studying all the different pizzas. Whether it was Chicago style or New York style or, you know, Rhode Island, or there's so many different varieties, and they all had the same basis, and that was they all started with the Poolish. They started with, you know, all the good ones, the ones that were 100-year-old or 75-year-old restaurants, and with just old school Italian technique. And so that's what we wanted to kind of replicate, the same love and affection I think that we used to all show to food, but now it's as a matter of convenience and time.
Right.
And so instead of waiting an hour for food, like in Italy, you know, an hour and a half is not a long wait at all in food. In America, if you know you don't have something in front of your plate in 10 minutes, they're wanting to know what's the hold up in the kitchen.
So now then, we've got that story behind us,
yes,
which
ma'am,
which is very interesting. I love the way it's been bubbling and like the yeast working its way.
We've been waiting years. It took me 2 years just to get a dough that was suitable for our needs at 7,600 feet.
Yeah.
And so that took a long time just to get everything just the way we wanted it.
So you have about 5 or 6 standard or set pieces. Am I correct?
I think we've got 10, if I remember correctly.
Right around.
That are you've around. Dialed in, and that's your,
yes, ma'am,
your combination. And then people can come in and do their own thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Give you the,
absolutely,
what they want.
And we have a pretty expansive ingredient list that a lot of people don't care. I mean, we have free-range organic chicken when we have it in. We have grass-fed beef. We have ricotta and passata that we import, sopressata, a lot of different weird things that most, at least Colorado Springs residents, maybe not as familiar with, but they seem to like them.
Okay. That's what counts, and they're buying them.
Absolutely.
They're buying them at such a rate that you're thinking about expanding.
We are.
For a new spot.
We're looking for a much larger spot and something that can incorporate more of a robust bar program. Some beer and pizza kind of go together.
Of course, yeah.
And so we are, you know, kind of excited to get down to Colorado Springs. It's where I was raised, and I just got a love for the community. And we'd like something, I think, larger so that we can expand our production capabilities.
I'm constantly blown away by, you know, I didn't grow up with an insane amount of culinary background. I had a pretty, you know, working class kind of upbringing. And I was just a little amazed, like, when Nicholas and I had met, and it was almost rediscovering food with him. And pizza, I keep trying to tell people, it's pretty much the tip of, like, it's like the tip of the iceberg of what we can accomplish. You know, it's with our confined spaces and things, we have plans for, you know, the real homemade pastas and bringing food back.
Wow.
To where,
yeah, that sounds great.
It should, yeah, be, but that passion is lost because people are more after convenience now, like you had mentioned before. So,
and it might be you could maybe hire some other employees to help you and let you have a day or two off.
We could probably streamline it. You know, I'm constantly I have the business part of me that wants to be an efficient business owner, and then I have the chef in me that just really wants to produce the best food possible, and I don't care how long it takes, and I don't care how much it costs. I just want everybody to really enjoy food again. So we're constantly in conflict with each other, I think.
But it's still a pretty firm belief that real food, good food, takes time, and that's, yeah, kind of been our stance.
I never rushed my mom at Thanksgiving. It wasn't allowed. You know, if she said 2 and it turned out to be 3, you just
7.
Waited. You know?
Yeah, so that's wonderful that you've got this combination of things going on for you.
Yes, ma'am. We feel very privileged.
Now, are you looking in Monument for a new location?
No, we're looking in Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay, great.
And so we want to keep our location. We've got a great relationship with our landlord.
You're going to have a second.
We want a second location.
Okay.
And so we want to keep ours. We have we have such amazing customer base as it is now. We have customers that come in every single week. And I'm going to say, 20-25% of our sales are the same people every week?
At least.
And so I want to remain loyal to them. But at the same time, I just feel like we have something great, and we're not showing it to the world yet.
Are those people that keep coming back, do they have like the one pizza that they always get?
Yes, so ma'am.
You see that phone number?
Every single time.
Yeah, you know exactly what
we do.
Yeah. What is the most popular pizza?
1876.
1876, most likely.
What is that?
It is our classic pomodoro, basil pomodoro sauce with mozzarella provolone, tri peppers, red onions, mushrooms, black olives, and then imported pepperoni.
It's a supreme style. It's our version of our supreme style pizza. It's certainly the most popular, followed by probably our twin sisters with our sapricetta salami and pepperoni, old world pepperoni.
I like the one you did, kind of like a white pizza, and it had pears and I think maybe figs or something like that.
Peaches? Or are you talking about the baby
peach
dough?
And goat cheese?
Maybe it was that one.
Or potato and truffle.
The baby dough.
Potato and truffle.
Yes, that's the baby dough taper.
So we have two that I had two that were on the specialty menu, but they sell so well we put them on the classic menu, and that's the baby dough, which is potato and truffle with rosemary, and the pueblo, which is Neuchâtel cheese, roasted poblano, smoked gouda, and sweet corn.
I like both of those. Anyway, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
And don't forget, it's Papa Bear Takeout Pizza Kitchen, but it's actually a call-in. It's at 243 Washington Street in Monument. Their phone number is 418-2070, and it's papabearpizzas.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. We have to take a break, but we'll be back with more tasty news. And welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And we were just talking beer. What a great topic and what a great person we have here to bring us more information. We have Brian Mark. He's the general manager of Oscar Blues Fooderies. They're located at 118 North Tejon Street, and you are coming up on the first year anniversary.
Yeah, our number one anniversary. So it's been a heck of a year. It's been awesome how welcoming the community has been to us and our neighbors. You know, Sparrowhawk and Zizo's and all the people in our neighborhood have been great partners with us. And we're going to have a pretty cool week of events.
When is it going to be?
So our anniversary party is actually on the 26th of October, but we're doing a week of events up into it. So from the 22nd, we're going to be doing all-you-can-eat wings and we're pairing it with Deuce's Wild Blood Orange Beer. So it's going to be bottomless blood orange beer and bottomless wings for $20.
Wow.
And so we want to do a bunch of events that are really thanking the community for supporting us over the past year. And then Tuesday, we're doing a Taco Tuesday with a special release beer that I'm not allowed to announce yet.
Okay, it does have tequila in it?
It does not. but it is a Oscar Blues specialty beer that will be coming online nationwide in January, but we're going to have it for this tasting, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oh.
You can find out on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and then Wednesday we're doing all-you-can-eat fish fry. Thursday we're going to do all-you-can-eat chicken and waffles. And then Friday, the night of the party, there's a bunch of great things. Jameson's going to be there, obviously Oscar Blues, and we're going to be releasing Death by Coconut, which is a very popular beer, which is our Irish porter that has coconut infused in it. And if you know what Death by Coconut is, you'll be very excited about that. Last year for Mother's Day, a lot of you may remember, is that we actually did a pig roast and we marinated the pig in Death by Coconut, and we're doing that again this year. So it's going to be a party with a seafood boil, a roasted pig, Death by Coconut, free tastings of that, and it's going to be this monster party, and all kinds of vendors are going to be there.
So is there an entry fee?
So for that party, it's going to be $30. And it's going to be all-you-can-eat seafood boil, all-you-can-eat roast pig.
Wow, that's
a
deal.
Yeah, and we're really trying to do this as a thank you to the community. and really just have a huge party like we did last year when we opened. That was crazy. Our opening party was nuts.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Whenever you do the roasted pig, do you bring out the whole pig, or is it Aaron? Is that your chef?
Eric. Yeah. Eric. So we do have a pig roaster, and we do whole pigs, suckling pigs, and we plan on roasting three of them this year. So we'll smoke them and then roast them, and we roast them overnight. So when we pull them out of that rack, it literally falls apart. And we won't run out of food. That's something that we've never been guilty of, is running out of specialty food. So
they took this is in the old Chicago's, the former old Chicago's.
Yeah, the old DeGraff building, and it's a beautiful building. We expose a lot of the brick.
It's beautiful what you guys have done.
Yeah, and I'm so impressed. I always thought I was kind of an artistic person until I saw what our architect could do and the vision that she had. With that basement. For all you old Chicago employees, if you haven't been to our basement, please go. You will be shocked.
Oh, I bet. Because there was nothing down there.
Well, it's no longer a death trap. So that place was dangerous.
Just to put it mildly there.
Just mildly. It sounds like I'm joking, but if you work there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we turn it into this beautiful, almost speakeasy-style bar. We have a bocce ball court. We have darts down there now. We have a four-person Pac-Man, pool tables, so it's a game thing, game hangout entertainment area. We rent it all the time for groups. It's very, very popular. It's really just a cool local hangout spot where a lot of the people that live around the area kind of hang out down there.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. Now, and you have a little patio in the back that's very cozy.
Yeah, we have a patio with a little garden that we put out there with no fresh herbs and stuff just to make it a little bit prettier. And we tried doing a couple of those games out there, but they're, again, if you ever worked at that building, you know the back staircase I'm talking about, not necessarily conducive for games. So we moved that inside. And so now we have bags or cornhole, whatever you want to call it, and a bocce ball court down in our basement, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, that's pretty unique, and particularly with the climate the way it is here and months of snow, you're always protected.
Yeah.
A nice cozy place to play games. And so tell us what's happening with the beer, Oscar Blues beers.
So, yeah, there's a couple of things going on. A lot of people, when we first opened, thought we were this big, bad brewery coming in. A lot of people forgot that we're a tap house, for
you're
one.
You're in a foodery.
And we're a foodery. So there's actually only four Oscar Blues restaurants, and they're all in Colorado. They all started, first one in Lyons, second one in Longmont, and we're the third one, and the fourth one's actually in downtown Denver. And we carry our beers, but we also do as much as we possibly can to showcase the local breweries around us. Our last month, our featured beer was Cogstone, and their chips and salsa beer just won a bronze medal at Great American Beer Festival. We have that on tap right now.
What is that like?
It's exactly like what you think it is. It's a cream ale. It tastes like chips and salsa. It's an experimental style beer, and it's nuts. And he was like, oh, no way. And you take it, and it's like, that tastes like a bowl of chips and salsa. And we paired it with our enchiladas,
well,
and it's a fantastic pairing.
If you're having chips and salsa, how does the beer taste?
I mean, tomato-ier?
Is that a good...
Is that a word?
Would it make a good Bloody Mary?
A michelada. And so that's what we do with it. And actually, our chef got a hold of that and immediately did that with it. But by itself, it's amazing what you can do with beer and the flavorings and just different yeasts and different ingredients, how you can literally replicate other drinks, and it's a beer. And you know, there's those root beer flavored beers out there, which I have my own opinion on, but to be able to impart these tomatoes and chips of salsa, literally you can actually taste the chip in it.
I know, it's really amazing. Yeah. I really kind of gotten hooked on some sour beers. Mm-hmm. Does Oscar Blues do any?
We do a couple of sours. We have a rotating sour tap. We generally try to keep it between a Goza and a sour. Gozas are a little bit milder version of a sour. But we always have a couple on tap. We do have 48 taps on hand. So we generally have 8 to 12 Oscar Blues branded beers and then some from our Canarchy brand. And a lot of people are a little bit confused about what that is. So I see the look on your face. So we are actually a part of really a beer group called Canarchy. And Oscar Blues, Perrin.
C-A-N?
Yeah, it's literally Canarchy. Yeah.
Okay.
And Perrin out of Michigan, and then Cigar City out of Florida, and Oscar Blues got together really to help each other distribute in their areas without having to go to these other big boys for help and to really keep their identity. So they're able to combine each other and sell in their areas without losing the ownership and identity of the brewery. So we do have a couple of like High Lai, which is one of my favorite beers,
yeah.
From Cigar City, and then Maduro from Perrin, which Perrin Black, which is one of my favorite beers from Michigan, and then we have a couple other ones as well. So beyond that, we really just go around from our restaurant, see what we have holes in from the Oshkosh Blues beers, and say, okay, we need a brown. And so we look in Colorado Springs, like, okay, what's the best brown in Colorado Springs? And we put that on tap.
Oh.
So that's really how we work, and we just expand from Colorado.
So it's a mutual aberration.
Yeah, and we really wanted to make sure that we supported the local breweries, because a lot of people did that for us when we were first starting out, and we really felt like we owed it to the people. And, you know, I've been in the beer scene in Colorado Springs for a long time,
yes, you have.
Even before Oshkosh Blues. You know, many of you know I've worked for another company, and that's I can't bring you beer anymore because I don't brew.
Darn.
I've always felt that there was a very tight community here, and then I went and worked in Denver and kind of came back. It's like, what happened? And everyone seemed to be at each other's throats a little bit. And so we kind of came in and said, hey, let's get that community back. And it has been going back together, and, you know, meeting the guys like at Deuces Wild over on the east side, probably some of the coolest guys I met, you know, Cogstone,
right.
Goat Patch Brewery,
right.
Even Cerberus and all those guys. Those guys are amazing, too. So
I wanted to bring up two things before we run out of time here. First of all, Oshkosh Blues was one of the first to come up with canned beer.
Yeah.
So tell us about that and why.
Yeah, so it was for twofold, a couple of reasons. For one, canning was a lot cheaper than in the beginning.
Than bottles,
but
yeah.
there is a specific reason. And Dale from Dale's Pale Ale is a real person, and he is still our owner. It was very important for him for two things. Is one, a canned beer actually is better for the beer than a bottle, because there's no light skunking the beer and things like that. You don't have to worry about it. Light contamination.
Yeah.
Good point. Secondly, is that you could take a beer in your backpack on a hike. You get up to the top, you drink your beer, you can crush it and put it right back in your pack and take it back down, and it's infinitely recyclable.
Uh-huh.
And that was very, very important to him is, you know, going up on these beautiful trails and seeing this beautiful view and then looking down and seeing a bunch of broken beer bottles.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that really stuck to him, and we were the first craft brewery to do it. We're definitely not the last. I think a lot of people have followed
it's
suit.
Catching on. Mm-hmm.
And we developed a crowler system and all that other stuff, so we want other people to do it, and we're glad they're doing it.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, and you may not still be doing this, but you try to rotate spirits, locally produced spirits. You target a month.
Yeah, so we have our Friday feature, which is our first Friday feature, really is a month. I named it that and realized how horribly named it was. It's actually for a month. It's a monthly feature. And right now, actually, we just put a Manhattan on our menu, and we featured the 291 Rye.
Oh, I know.
That just won the World Whiskey's Award Best Whiskey. And so we actually sell that for $9 in our restaurant, which is actually my bartender pointed out. It's like, well, that's cheaper than we sold the shot for. And it's like, well, it's great, and I want people to try it.
Yeah, well, good for you.
And so that's what we do. We have a brand new drink menu with a bunch of cool stuff on it, and we have a lunch menu and all this other cool stuff you can find on Facebook. And
great.
That's going on.
Okay, well, and also your website is OshkoshBluesFooderies.com.
Correct.
And that's where you can see the menus. Phone number to make reservations is 375-1925.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant is located at 118 North Tejon Street. They're celebrating their first anniversary being down here in Colorado Springs, so we're so happy that you're here. And that's going to go from October 22nd to the 26th with fantastic specials all week long.
All week long, and special beers you will not be able to get anywhere else in stores or anything until the beginning of the year. So there'll be samples and stuff that go follow us on Facebook, and I might tell you.
And there's that one that he won't tell us about.
There's two that I'm not telling you about.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're sneaky.
Yeah, so follow us on Facebook. I've managed a social media page for it, so when I misspell something, it's me.
well,
if you know who I am, you know that I am typo master. but I'm the person responding. Just message me, and I'll get back to you more information, but I'm not going to tell you what the beers are.
Okay, but this Brian Mark, and I constantly call you Mark Brian.
I'm used to it. I have a middle name too. I have three first names.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get me any more confused than I already am. He's a general manager at Oshkosh Blues Fooderies. Be sure and check out all the things that are going on. Their hours are 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sundays through Wednesdays, and 11 a.m. to midnight, 12 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays.
Yeah, we'll always stay open if people are there, but generally midnightish.
Brian, it's so nice always to see you.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on hanging in there for a year and being with us in the community. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate being here again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, we're coming up on a short break, but there's still one more scrumptious segment. Welcome back to KRDO News Radio. Now, the last course of our show, which I call the dessert, and boy, oh boy, does it look like it here. We have Sharon Dahlin.
Dahlin.
Great. She's the owner of Cherokees of Manitou. It's a gallery and cheese shop, and they are at 351 Manitou Avenue. And you have to keep your eyes peeled for things that catch your eye as you drive by, because she's got beautiful art things out in the front to draw attraction to her gallery. And you're an artist, too.
That I am.
And it shows through your presentation. She has before me many, many of the condiments that you sell along with your cheese. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the cheese shop and why this is kind of an interesting combo to have art, a gallery, and that.
We started our cheese shop. This is going into our third year. My son is in the military, and he's in Afghanistan currently. And he got married after his last tour to Afghanistan. And his wife, Carrie, came to me, and she said, "Miss Sharon, can I put in a cheese shop?" And I thought, why not?
and she says Miss Sharon. Carrie says Miss Sharon because she's from Atlanta.
That's right. That's right. And Carrie is an actual cheesemonger and a cheese specialist, and she worked for Gourmet Foods International for over 10 years, and she was their cheese purchaser and chocolate purchaser, so she knows lots and lots about cheese.
She sure does, and she's been teaching you.
Yes, I have attended three of the Institut du Fromage classes that are the Cheese American Cheese Society classes that Gourmet Foods International puts on. And so this year, I knew just enough about cheese after the last 2 years that when the classes started and they started their pairings, they set it up differently. They presented us cheeses, and the cheese specialists who made the cheese from the farms, they talk about their animals and all their milk, and of course that's where cheese comes from. And then as we went through pairings, not only did they pair it with wine, ciders, and beer, but they paired it with different wonderful accoutrements. And so that's how I got into all these wonderful, delicious things on this plate in front of you.
The condiments.
Yes, these are absolutely awesome.
Okay, I recognize some things, but some are a mystery. See the cipollini, the asparagus, cherries, of course, mm-hmm. chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nuts and chocolate. So tell me what you've got here.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to start you off with is this is an Effie's nut cake. And
what?
They are imported. So it's ground up pecans. And then I'm serving it with a Colorado sweet and saucy curry ginger mustard for you. And then a beautiful piece of our Italian provolone cheese, which is one of the pulled cheeses from Italy that we import.
Is that the same one as this?
Yes.
The same thing.
Yes.
But this is a little tiny piece of cake. Well, tell me about the cake.
Well,
it's like a cracker.
They are, only they're really healthy. They're just ground nuts and a little honey.
Mm.
And just a little bit of flour added to it to give it a little body. And that's it.
Oh, my goodness. There's the combination of the sweet with the cracker. That honey, what was the honey? Or the mustard?
That's curry ginger mustard. Mm. That's made by Jane of Sweet and Saucy. And she's a Colorado sauce maker. Mm. And we found her 3 years ago. And I've slowly been building up her business. But her caramels just came out. So I'm going to follow with that mustard with one of her caramels for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm all ready.
What I want you to taste here is her autumn harvest. This comes out in October, and we have it through December, and then we don't see it till next year.
Mm.
The number one ingredient in this is butter.
Oh.
And it is goes right to the heart.
It has a beautiful, almost like dipping into melted butter, almost a little bit set up melted butter, if that's possible. Oh my goodness sakes.
Isn't that yummy?
Oh, wow. I could lick that clean right now.
I call that October on a spoon.
Oh, Oh my goodness, that is so good. It's it has a real cinnamon, like red hot cinnamon finish.
And it also has pumpkin pie spices
in
it. So it works.
Oh, honey, this goes way beyond pumpkin pie. It's way, way, way up there.
This is really, really good on cheesecake. It's good on pumpkin bread. If you're serving pumpkin bread, it's wonderful on
ice cream.
It's
good to eat it with a spoon right out of the jar.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, that was amazing.
And so the next thing I would like you to try is I'm going to change your palate back a bit. Anyway.
Okay, go savory.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So what I'd like you to try is some of our Gold Creek white truffle mushroom.
Ooh, I had a little bit of that earlier, so I know it's good.
This is a cheddar, and have a cipollini.
Mm-hmm.
These cipollinis come from Italy. They're small, little, tiny onions, and they are soaked in a wonderful balsamic from Mondano.
I love cipollinis.
Oh, these are great with roast beef,
mm-hmm.
any type of steak, mm-hmm. tenderloin. But
those
with
are
the
good.
Cheese, doesn't mm-hmm. that just make the earthiness better?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, cheese, you always want to serve it at room temperature. It just gets a whole new flavor.
That is my biggest pet peeve when they have a cheese course at a restaurant. And I love them, and I order it, and then it comes out cold, like it's just been in the refrigerator, and that's not the way to eat cheese.
No, the cheese, you just want room temperature. Mm-hmm. It just kind of brings out, the oxygen just really kind of completes it.
Now, are those cipollinis, somebody here in Colorado is making it, or are these imported?
These are imported. We import these from Italy. So once, this is Lazarus,
mm-hmm.
and once I met her at the Institut du Fromage, these are her cherries. Try one of these. These cherries are just a dark cherry in what they call a syrup. But to me, they got me to eat bloomy rind cheeses
mm-hmm.
with those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way. Oh. Is that not good?
Those are like cardials.
Yeah.
The chocolate.
And the cordial chocolates?
Cordial.
Yeah.
You get the drugstore.
Oh, these cherries.
Oh, they're so good.
They are so good. You can just eat your weight
mm-hmm.
in it. And I'm not a bloomy rind cheese, like a Limburger cheese girl. And so when I go to cheese school, they're always trying to get this little old lady to try them out.
Step up.
So this year, they had me dip right into the soft cheese itself and then add the cherry to it. And
that's
Limburger.
That's just crazy good.
Oh, it's yummy.
It is good.
Okay, then I want to change your...
By the way, I wanted to mention, Sharon, what we're doing right now is something that anytime you walk into, usually on Saturdays, you walk into the gallery, and there's Sharon, and she'll put down her paintbrush, and she walks right over, and would you like to try some cheeses? And next thing I know, she goes to back into her little makeshift kitchen, and she pulls out and does a tasting just like this and with wine. So anyway, it's a treat to go and check out the cheese store with Sharon.
So our next thing I want you to try is Bobby Sue's Nuts. And these are actually
Bobby Sue Nuts?
Bobby Sue Nuts from New York City, believe it or not. Mm. But these are nuts over olives. And they're a little spicy, and the little black ones are olives. So they're not your normal style of nut.
Oh, my goodness. They're crazy good.
Aren't those yummy?
Mm-hmm.
They're good to go with, like, your ales, your beers, your sliders. Mm.
I've never had a dried olive, but it's a little bit like a dried fig, but it's salty.
And a little meaty flavored.
That is good, good, good.
Okay, then the next thing I want you to taste here is some of our, this is our peach chardonnay caramel.
Oh.
And this caramel I absolutely love. This has ground pureed peaches in it and a beautiful chardonnay wine.
Oh, that is wonderful. It has such a creamy, like, butter left on my lips that are just like, oh, so
and just a tiny bit of salt, maybe from those nuts still, but wow.
And with that, if you add a little bit of sesame oil, just a couple of drops to it,
Good idea.
A little bit of soy sauce, it makes the perfect dressing to go with your Asian food.
Perfect.
Or if you're cooking Asian foods. Absolutely,
Sharon,
love it.
Sharon, we're coming up on a break, which means the end of the show.
Okay.
And I see I want to try that.
Oh, try this one. This is our amaretto fudge, and the best way to have this is on a spoon.
And right out of the jar.
Right out of the jar. And this is two types of amaretto and Madagascar vanilla and cocoa.
Mm. Now, this is an adult's fudge right here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yummy.
Mm. All of these would make great holiday gifts. Or to put a collection of them together.
We will be glad to do that. If you let us know that you want to do a cheese tasting or a cheese board, we'll be glad to put one together or to tell you how to pair your cheeses with our wonderful accomplishments.
Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, you're welcome.
You made my day, honestly. Oh, boy, that was great. And she is the owner of Cherokees of Manitou, and it's a gallery and cheese shop there at 351 Manitou Avenue. Call and be sure she's there, 683-3508, and it's CherokeesOfManitou.com. And what are your hours?
Our hours are Wednesday through Sunday. We're open 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock. And by appointment, we are closed on Monday and Tuesday.
And we didn't get into the gallery, but it's wonderful and fun. And by the way, all of her condiments and cheeses are very reasonably priced for the quality that she's got. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM and 1240 AM and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. If you missed some part of the show, you can visit KRDO.com to find a podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Next Saturday, you're going to hear about some spooky tours, vegan options, empanadas, and tamales. Thank you for listening. It's Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette.
You've been listening to the KRDO Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. Join Teresa and her guests for the Table Talk Party Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDONewsRadio.podbean.com.